Revelation Revealed, Part 2, Section 14, Revelation Chapter 1, Verse 9 through 11. There are some very important issues in these couple of verses that we do need to spend some time on. They will affect how you believe the whole book of Revelation. Verse 9, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. Simply this, John being a leader in the community of Christ in those days suffered along with every other Christian. He didn't have any special perks. As a matter of fact, he suffered, or most likely suffered, more than the ordinary Christian, and that is the mark of a true leader. He goes on to say, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Now, most or many prophetic futurists believe what John is saying here, that he was a prisoner on the island of Patmos. Well, the Greek construction of this verse does not necessarily say this. You could easily translate this phrase to say that John was sent to the island of Patmos to be a witness to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, a missionary to the prisoners. So you have two ways of viewing it. Either he was on the island as a prisoner, or he was on an island as a missionary prisoners. I'm not sure exactly how to believe at the moment. I tend to believe, and it's at the moment, that John was the missionary. Verse 10, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. That short little phrase has got two major points to consider. He says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Well, what does the Lord's day mean? Christians immediately jump on the idea that the Lord's day, it must be Sunday, which the old-time evangelicals used to call the Sabbath, and that's not biblically correct. If you were a Jew, you would say it was on Saturday. So, right off the bat, Christians believe it's Sunday, Jews would believe it's Saturday. I would suggest another alternative, and this is what I do really believe concerning the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day, as it's stated here, it's the only place in the New Testament where that term is used. It's used throughout the Old Testament, the Day of the Lord or the Lord's Day. It means the close of this age, like the last few years of tribulation, and it also means the exact day in which Jesus will return. So if you were a student of the Old Testament reading this sentence in John's day, I personally don't believe he would be thinking of Saturday or Sunday. He would be thinking of the close of the present age and the exact day the Lord would return. Now, a bit of history here. It wasn't till well into the 300s AD that Sunday became an official Christian Sabbath. By 150 AD, Sunday was being celebrated as a day based on the resurrection of Jesus unto the Lord. It was not a day of rest. Christians worked on that day, but they attended a meeting before they went to work, and many of them attended a feast at the end of the workday. It was not a day of rest for them. It was more of a day of celebration. That is pretty well the case by 150 AD. By 100 AD or 95 AD, assuming you believe John wrote this in 95 AD, the idea of Sunday being a designated day to worship Jesus was not fully established. And if you believe Revelation was written in 66 AD, even more so back then. There are hints in the New Testament that certain communities of Christ gathered on Sunday for worship, but they are hints. There is no clear New Testament teaching stating that Sunday should be set aside as a special day of celebration. That came much later in church history. As a matter of fact, this is how I believe concerning Sunday. It's what I believe Paul spoke about in Romans 14 when he said, some people observe one day or over another. Others believe every day is the same. And in context, I believe Paul believed every day was the same. That's what I believe. I see no distinction between Sunday and a Wednesday or any other day of the week. They're all the same day to me. All that being said, I believe the Lord's Day here in Revelation 1:10 speaks of the tribulation period that I would actually say doesn't end this age, but is an age unto itself that ends in the return of Jesus to earth, which is the exact day of the Lord. Now, John says, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Again, the Greek text has something to say about in the Spirit. It really says, I came into the Spirit. This is how I understand this verse, that John came into the Spirit and was transformed into the future day of the Lord, into the great tribulation that ended in the exact day of Jesus' return. And I think that sheds a whole new light on the whole book of Revelation, that John wasn't just in the Spirit in his day seeing things in the future. He was transported into the future as he came into the Spirit. And then as we see in chapter 4, while in the Spirit, he was then, in modern terms, beamed up into heaven. The verse continues, and heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. Every time you hear any voice in heaven, it's always loud. It's like John's earthly ears could not tolerate the noise in heaven. The noise in heaven was quite tolerable for everybody who existed there, but for our human frail ears, it was kind of tough on John. Verse 11, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, or as I said before, community of believers, in Ephesus, Sardis, Pergamos, Thyatira, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. We'll come back to that later. The number one point to make here is that John was transported into the future day of the Lord, and he saw things that were happening as he was in the future. You know, God lives outside of our time and space domain. He exists in the future already. And John was transported into that space where God exists. And he saw what would happen on earth in the day of the Lord.